All right, a little crisscross applesauce. 9:40 on a Tuesday, we check in with our friends at SalesportTalk.com. And for those of you who've been listening the last few weeks, Karen Lyle, who usually co-hosts this segment with me from SalesportTalk.com, has been getting all sorts of plaudits and platitudes and awards and being canonized almost in England. And so real quick, she has a brief recorded message, and let's go to that.
This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk. Hello, Rick, and our listeners in the armed forces around the world. I recorded this for you just a few hours before our broadcast of Salesport Talk today, because right now, as you are listening to this in our live broadcast, I am in the middle of a ceremony in the court of the Company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers called the Liveryman Clothing Ceremony, which is a rite of passage from freeman to liveryman for the Company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers. The City of London has 111 livery companies, each with a unique uniform for its members, who are invited to be liverymen by the courts of each company. Each unique uniform has ancient origins, representing the different trades that have been so important in the making of the City of London what it is today. These livery companies are unique in their history. The one that I am becoming a liveryman of invented the concept of the copyright in 1403 and kept a registry of copyrights well into the 20th century, when the public laws made copyright available to all. The Company of Stationers and Newspaper Makers includes many affiliated trades, including broadcasters, which is why I was invited to join. Traditionally, the company only had those who were living and working within the City of London as members, but the past master, Helen Ismonde, initiated a North American division, and a few North Americans, like myself, have joined the company from the United States and Canada. Each livery company had its own militia in ancient times, dating back for some companies as early as the 12th century, and they defended the City of London when called upon. Stationers Hall, which is where I am right now, is one of the 39 of the 111 livery companies that own buildings that they built in the historic Square Mile in London. The rents that each company collects from their buildings, plus donations from their members and from events they sponsor, go to support education, the military and veterans, and many charitable causes. I love being part of traditions like this, but most important, I look forward to talking to all of our 100 million listeners in 168 countries around the world, that's you, each week on Salesport Talk, and appreciate the support of the sailors and the media professionals who bring the news of sailing to us from around the world. This is Karen Lyle in London, England.
All right. That was Karen's report from London, and that leaves me. If you have, in the rest of the 11 minutes I have in this segment, if you have a sailing question, ask me, and then I'll Google it for you. 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. The Vendée is something that we have been following. There was actually a Napoleonic battle at Vendée, too, but I won't get into that. I get into my historical asides a little bit too much. The people that Karen and myself, one or the other or both, have interviewed that were in the Vendée have now finished. Sam Goodchild came in 9th place. Samantha Davis in 13th place, and Conrad Coleman in 21st place. And you might have heard a couple weeks ago, Pip Hare's boat was dismasted. Yes, the mast broke off, and so she had to withdraw. And that was a pretty stirring report from her, with basically tears in her eyes as she was talking about having to give up. But in the world of sailing, they're calling this a new War of the Roses going on, which just happened a couple of, if you might remember, that was a civil war in England between the House of York and the House of Lancaster. We can get into that as well another time, or not. But there was an announcement a couple days ago of a split between the skipper and the backer of the British America's Cup team, which is Ineos Britannia. Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves. England never, never, never shall be slaves. The principal CEO and skipper is Ben Ainslie, who's been on this show. He has been fired which has astounded everyone. He's an Olympic gold medalist. He's an America's Cup champion. He led the last three British America's Cup challenges. Two of those were under the INEOS sponsorship. The sponsorship and patronage of Jim Ratcliffe. Now, if you're a soccer fan, you might know the name Jim Ratcliffe because he just bought Manchester United. And he fired Erik ten Hag and hired Ruben Amorim. And Erik ten Hag actually has done better than Amorim, who came from Porto. But the America's Cup effort last year was the most successful of all of Ratcliffe's sporting properties. And so INEOS has fired Ainsley, and they have hired a new Britannia CEO, David Endine. David Endine is a Kiwi, so the New Zealander, he was the COO, so he has moved up. So given the leaks into the British media about what Ratcliffe is doing, it's hard to believe that maybe Ainsley had not anticipated that something was going to blow up, because according to the office filings in the UK, Athena Racing, that's what they were, the funding line from INEOS, they stopped making all payments when the year ran out. So a new deal had to be confirmed. And then the parties were already on record as saying they were both keen to go again. But ironically, when Ratcliffe and Ainsley first hooked up, Ainsley was only looking for a partner to work with his existing team. And so Ratcliffe wanted to be the sole backer, and Ainsley was put in the awkward position of saying thanks but no thanks to all his financial backers. So this might not be the type of sports intrigue like the Luka Doncic trade, which I will get to more of in a minute. But we do have Patty Mangan on the line from us, and Patty is from SalesportTalk.com. Patty, can you tell us a little bit more from what your understanding is from INEOS Britannia of Ratcliffe, the billionaire owner of Manchester United? He has fired Ainsley, and it's a bit of a shocker. What's going on over there?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm not behind the curtain to be able to provide any deep insight, but typically when something like this happens, there's a conflict, they're not in agreement, and maybe there's some other talent that is being prospected.
So in the grand scheme of things, do you kind of say to yourself, well, you know, Endine, the Kiwi, he's going to be running things, and the crew is there, it's a great vessel, they're going to be fine? Or when you fire somebody who has won the America's Cup and an Olympic gold medal, you sort of take a very perilous risk.
Yeah, you could affect the team charisma, you know, in terms of how they feel about the firing, but again, you know, all of these amazing athletes who are competing in multiple competitions around the world annually, they are for hire. And they are for hire for who knows, maybe this is more about another event that's going on. But the morale could be affected, but we can only hope that somebody has a grand scheme.
You know, I saw that INEOS Britannia said that they have 100 scientists and engineers working on the design of their AC-38 yacht. That seems like a lot. I mean, that almost seems like it's too many chefs spoil the broth kind of thing.
I wonder if we could consider visualizing that being compartmentalized for different parts of the performance of the boat, right? So there's the powering, there's the sails, there's the design, the sleek craft design itself. And so maybe what you're thinking about is more like six teams of 12.
Yes, that sounds more doable. In a way, is this type of, as they say over there, controversy, is it kind of good for the sport because we're talking about it?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the same thing as the shock and awe of the recent trade. that just happened in, I believe, football.
NBA, but yes, you're close.
Okay, NBA. I am, you know, aware that this trade has taken a large population of fans by complete storm. They had no idea. They're crestfallen. They're outraged. And the same thing is happening in the sailing world, right? So you know what? It's very interesting. There are very few people who are making big decisions for all in so many levels of our lives right now.
I think what's interesting, too, is I saw a thing about how the British Olympic talent pool isn't what it used to be. They kind of had a little medal drought there until they got like a women's kite and windsurfing. But also they say that it's maybe the opposite of everything else in business and sports, that you really don't want a skipper of America's Cup until they're in their 50s to have the experience that they need. What do you think of that?
Huh. Well, I think that that theory could be blown out of the water, you know, mm-hmm. with some 30-year-old could win. So it helps to have the experience. It helps to have the wisdom what it means is that they know their competitors really well because they've been competing against them for 20 plus years. That's what they know. As well as they're all trying to keep up with the fastest innovation in sailboat racing design that's ever happened, right? So, you know, Shell GP, they were getting on those boats for the first time. Like, they were newly designed boats when the season started, the fifth season started. And this keeps happening every year. The innovation is so fast. So they're very experienced and adept at adjusting to the craft. And so if we try to compare it to other sports, you know, that's not happening in the Indy 500. They're not changing that dramatically. So they're very, these are businessmen too, right? They're very smart businessmen. So it's a combination of the money and power and thinking ahead. And basically strategizing, and when things don't go well, you have to look back at both the American teams and the U.S. The Brit teams, they're possible not getting medals and not placing as high can actually be completely due to weather, low wind factors, right? If there's no wind, nobody can compete, nobody can do very well, and so. I think that much like a football game can get rained out or a baseball game can get rained out, a sailing event can be wind out.
There it is. And I'm still waiting for us to get knighted and for us to get our Victoria's Cross. But until that time, Patty Mangan, thank you so much for your time and coming on.